today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I got into this event because I put a porch on my front house. I thought it would be a really great use of our porch.
Okay, Patrick, we are here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We are here talking with some guys who truly do rock the suburbs, right? I mean,
that's right.
Could this become, you know, this be even more core, more central to our mission as a podcast, right? That to interview people who rock the suburbs.
This is true.
And who we have here, we have Brad Brown. Let's say hello, Brad.
Hi. How are you?
Good, good. And we have Rob Runyon.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
All right. And these guys are in the same area where we are, the DC, Washington, DC area, except they're on the, they're in the other suburbs. We're in the Northern Virginia suburbs of DC.
That's
they're
right.
In the Maryland suburbs up there, which I have no ill will toward. I think we could all live together in harmony. You know, not everyone that's maybe right. agrees with me on that, but that's how I feel. I'm, you know, that's just how I roll. But anyway, these guys have put together a really cool thing that we're going to be a part of, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But they put together this really cool thing. It's the second year. It is called Woodmore Stock. Do I have that correct?
That's right.
Okay. Guys, just tell our listeners a little bit about what Woodmore Stock is, and I would encourage anyone who lives anywhere, say, whether you're local here mm-hmm. to the DMV, or let's say as far away as, I don't know, like Reno, Nevada, you should come to Woodmore Stock, all right? Come on out and hang out. This is going to be really cool. So tell us what this is.
Rob, go ahead.
So Woodmore Stock is the second annual porch fest or music fest that we're putting on in our neighborhood. That's called Woodmore in the Silver Spring area near what's also called Four Corners. And we have 55 bands, mostly local bands lined up to play 11 stages, some bonafide porches, some driveways, some lawns, some alcoves in our neighborhood. We have about 1,000 homes here in our neighborhood. So 11 stages is we're hitting a pretty good area of the neighborhood, and we are very excited. Last year we had 39 bands on 9 stages, so we've grown a bit in our second year, and the excitement is really growing around the event. So we're just really excited to have good local music and good neighbors come out and enjoy the fun for a Saturday in June.
This is pretty amazing. Have you heard of anything like this before, Patrick?
Not really, no. I mean, I've heard of, you know, people like in our neighborhood, we do a block party and we set up in a cul-de-sac, right? And you have a little tent and maybe you'll have one stage and a couple of food trucks, but no, nothing like this.
Right.
This is amazing.
Right. To give you my suburban perspective, like we have an HOA that like, you know, once a year, like Memorial Day weekend has like a summer kickoff and they hire like a cover band to play at like a little tent. And next to that's like, you could buy like funnel cakes. Like that's the extent.
That's right.
What I understand something like this. So this is amazing. This is a huge thing. How did this come to be?
So I'll go ahead and admit that it's not a totally unique idea. The idea of Porch Fest goes back. We looked into the history a little bit. I think it goes back probably almost 20 years now. And I think the first one was in New Jersey.
Wow.
And it still kind of seems like it's a mostly sort of East Coast, Mid-Atlantic type phenomenon, but they're popping up all over the country now. And this area alone has quite a few. Rob probably knows the names of them a little better than I do, but I know DC has a pretty big one. Tacoma Park has a pretty big one, and then there's the UP neighborhood. I forget what UP stands for, but
University Park.
Yeah that's right. Okay. And I played a couple of them with my band back in the day, and some friends from our neighborhood went, and it was fun. It was a fun little event. And we came back and said, you know, why can't we do this in our neighborhood? And it took a couple of years to actually get the idea together. But then we finally got Rob here interested, or he was interested for a while, and then but he's the one who decided we were going to go and actually got us off our rears to actually finally bring it to fruition.
What's really cool is, as I was talking with Brad about this a few days ago, was, Brad, you can probably say this better than I can, but that you really wanted to make this, give this some level of professionalism in some way, right? That it wasn't just, which would be fine, I guess, but it wasn't just like people playing acoustic instruments and all that, that everybody mm-hmm. gets, you know, equipment, amplification, and that it takes on, that it just you know, goes up another notch in terms of the experience for people.
Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely the goal. So there, I mean, there's a couple of challenges and things that sort of work against each other. On one hand, we want to keep this thing open to folks who this is their very first time playing. And this is a chance for them to come out, you know, sort of share their talents with the neighborhood. We want to keep it open to them. On the other hand, you know, I knew of a whole bunch of really good established bands in the area. I wanted to be able to, we wanted to be able to attract them as well. And then, you know, the kicker on top of that is we can't pay anybody. One, we don't have the budget, and two, you know, when there's 55 bands of all varying degrees, it becomes just a nightmare to think about how we would even go about doling out.
Yeah. It becomes the
money for this.
It becomes a Spotify situation at that point.
yeah, essentially. So, you know, that what we thought would help, and you know, what I had sort of experienced is that, you know, if you want to sound good at these things, you have to bring, you know, your own PA and everything and all that. So we coupled with Chuck's and they've given us a really good deal on a bunch of nice equipment that we could set up at all the stages. And then, you know, coupled with folks in the neighborhood who have equipment, and, you know, we cobbled this together, and, you know, we make sure at every stage there's sound set up, at the very least a PA, and where, you know, we have a chance to get a backline organized, we can do that. And so bands, you know, they're still coming and playing for free, but they don't have to haul everything to sound good. And they know when they get here, there's going to be a decent setup, and they're going to sound good, and it's going to be you know, a chance for them to have a decent show outside in a neighborhood with a couple thousand people walking around.
I guess my question, in listening to you guys describe it, I'm curious, do people volunteer to turn over their porch or their driveway or their, you know, their front yard to you guys? Or is it more like, oh, I know a guy we could probably talk into doing this, you know, Jim Linehan, he'll do it.
It's a little bit of A and a little bit of B, but, I mean, to be honest, I got into this event cause I put a porch on my front house and I heard about Porch Fest and thought it would be a really cool event to host. I'm not a musician or someone who organizes music festivals. I thought it would be a really great use of our porch. And I know there are other people like that. We've had now in our second year, basically everyone who hosted last year wanted to host again. There is a little bit of, I wouldn't say arm twisting, but you're in a great spot in our neighborhood,
yeah.
Given proximity to other bands, and we'd love to use your lawn or your, and you know, it's not easy to host. You know, mostly the day of, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So we don't want anyone that's like sort of, you know, in it at 50%. You want someone who's gung ho, but there is a little bit of strategery, if you will, on finding the right spots in the neighborhood that aren't on top of each other, but aren't a mile away from each other either.
Yeah. Well, it's quite an achievement to get 11 different stages together. That's pretty amazing.
Let's talk here a little bit about how we're going to be involved in this. So our friend and the listener's friend, although he hasn't been on in quite some time, you may have to go back a few episodes to hear our friend Bobby Padovic on the show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But he's been a longtime friend of this podcast.
Yes.
And a fantastic drummer. And he brought this to my attention because he's going to be playing at it. So he was like, Jim, you should come out and hear me play. And plus, you can hear all these other bands. And so he connected me with Brad and we talked a little bit, and then we said, and then I offered the idea, well, maybe we can do some live podcasting while we're out there. So Brad has been, Brad and Rob have been great about this. They're going to set us up with a spot and a PA, and we're going to interview bands at Woodmore Stock, And anybody who comes out, come and hang with us, and you know, you can ask some questions too, or just join in the fun. So we're going to be doing that all day. How will people, if anybody does want to come and see us, Brad, because I know we haven't exactly settled on where we're going to be, how do people sort of navigate this fest, and how would they be able to find us, I guess?
Well, we have a map, so there will be an official event map, and we got a draft of that out right now. And Rob, I don't see a reason why we can't put, you and I can get together and see where we're going to be and get this put on the map as well. And there'll be an electronic version. Great. Can download that when you get here, and then we'll have some nicely designed artsy paper versions as well to hand out.
Cool.
So
tell us, guys, you mentioned, and I love this, by the way, I love that it's open to musicians sort of, you know, of all experience levels, right? And I love that some people, this might be their first gig, right? Playing at the Porch Festival. I think that's really cool. But tell our listeners, what are some of the highlights? If people come out, who might they get a chance to hear?
There's a couple of things. So I'll give you the rundown on who I want, but I also want to mention real quick that Rob and I approach this from sort of different angles, and we butt heads sometimes over it, but it also turns out to be the best thing for the festival. I play and I value, you know, sort of the quality of the music and the band part a lot. And Rob is really good at making sure that this is also good for sort of the casual listener and someone who just wants to walk around and hear stuff and sort of take it all in during the day. So
yeah,
we make sure we have food trucks all over. You know, we coupled with the local brewery, like I said. But then, yeah, there's going to be 11 stages all over the place, all over the neighborhood. It's almost an embarrassment of riches that, you know, we're going bell to bell, 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock. There's four or five bands on each stage. You know, you're really going to have to, if you want to see exactly what you want to see, you're going to have to do a little studying beforehand, taking a look at the list of bands. But a couple of my favorites that I'm looking forward to, we've got Dot Dash, who tried to get last year, couldn't quite get them, but they're in this year. There's a little bit of a younger band called Sleeping on Saturn, and they're playing some psychedelic rock. They're influenced by some of the psych rock out of Australia that's happening right now.
Cool.
And they've got some really interesting stuff. Let's see. There's a bluegrass band, sort of folk bluegrass called Fly the Coop, that's playing.
Wake you up in the morning so early just to tell you I got the one.
band called Dear Daria. They're out of DC. They're really good. They're showing up. Band called Froghammer that does some sort of Celtic dance music. They're playing 4:30 to 6, so you can go out there, and I think they actually teach you how to do the dance while they're doing it too.
Nice.
Heavy Editors. Let's see, what else? Black Shag Sherpas. I hadn't heard of them before. I listened to them a little bit, though, when they asked to play. They sound great.
I'm excited about the Grasso Brothers. I'm excited about the Grasso Brothers, who are local and playing all over the place, it seems, right now. Who are going to be playing at my stage.
Sweet.
Terry and the Back Alley Rhythm Cats were a big hit last year, so I think people are excited to have them back. But yeah, that's I definitely defer to Brad on you know, where you can really find the good music during Woodmorestock. He's got the more discerning ear than I do, but I think you're going to have a good time at all the stages.
But, and what I'm hearing from you too is that there's a pretty wide variety of the types of music you can hear.
It's not as wide as maybe in a perfect world we'd have, but yeah, it runs everywhere from sort of folk and bluegrass to you know, pretty loud punk rock type stuff. And you will see if you take a look at the layout and the stages and read a little bit about the bands, you'll find there are, you know, there are stages where there are, you know, mostly cover bands. There are stages where that are, you know, sort of punk rock stages. There are stages where you've got more bluegrass and folk and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's meant, it's set up so that, if you do a little research, you can find your brand of music.
And this is all free for people to come out and experience.
Yes,
right?
100%. Yeah. I mean, there'll definitely be some stuff that you can buy while you're here. We got cool t-shirts and posters and then of course there's the food trucks and beer and all that good stuff.
Right. So right. Now, okay, I want to ask you guys a little bit about your own musical interests. I'm going to start with Rob here, because Rob, you mentioned you are not a musician, and neither am I really. I dabble a bit, but between the two of us, between Patrick and I, Patrick's the real musician. I'm just the goofball. So, and I'm not trying to project that on you, Rob. But anyway, tell me.
that's okay.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your musical background. Just a big fan, or you know, you must obviously be pretty high on the fan spectrum to want to take on a project like this.
Yeah, no, I'm the son of a drummer, but unfortunately I didn't get any of that passed on to me. So, my dad played in a cover band, that played our, you know, elementary school, spring festival and our swim team banquets or things like that sometimes. So I have fond memories of sort of real local music, in the neighborhood growing up. Like I said, I played a little saxophone, in elementary school, and, I don't think I was cut out for the music business, but I've always enjoyed going to concerts. I was a little bit, late in getting to, some of the greats that came before my time, but my buddies and I in high school all of a sudden became huge Boss fans, and we've seen Springsteen together probably maybe 12, 15 times. Wow. I'm going to see him this summer at Nats Park again. I grew up in Detroit, so a lot of good music there. And if, you know, Springsteen was still the top of the list, then Detroiters would always have Bob Seger right there underneath. We're huge Seger fans, and I've seen him before. But yeah, that's kind of what I grew up, classic rock. But I just, the idea of, I always thought live music made any event more fun and more memorable. And so I'm just really happy to be a part of an event that brings so much live music.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. And then Brad, so tell us about your musical interests, and you're going to be playing at Woodmorestock as well, right?
Yeah. I'm actually playing in two bands. So I wasn't greedy and hogged up too much time. So I kept each of those sets to a half hour, but yeah, I'm playing one set with Bobby, and that's just going to be a throw together. We're going to play a few covers, some ZZ Top, some AC/DC, some Freddie King. But, I got a buddy, who lives in Kansas who he actually kind of taught me how to not be a crappy guitar player back when I lived in Austin with him. But he's one of the best blues guitar players I've ever heard. And he decided to come into town for this. And then I ran into Bobby one day at lunch and I said, "Hey, I got this friend coming in. Do you want to play?" And he's like, "Yeah, let's do that." So,
wow.
So we're going to throw together a little set. We're going to have one actual rehearsal. So we'll see how it goes. But those two are a couple of the best musicians I've ever met. So I'm confident that if I can just hang with them, it's going to be a lot of fun. And then I'm playing in another band that I play with some guys here who also are friends with Bobby, Frank Cortez and and a few other guys were playing some kind of garage rock, scuzz rock type stuff that we all wrote a couple of songs for that. So, So it's going to be fun. My background in music, I had older brothers and sisters, much, much older than me. And so, growing up in the '70s, I was hearing their, you know, Beatles and Stones record growing up. And when I could, you know, was just a baby. And then, but when I picked my own, my wheelhouse was, well, I tended towards the heavy stuff. You know, the first stuff I bought was Black Sabbath and Ozzy and AC/DC and Def Leppard and Iron Maiden and all that good stuff. And so that was sort of my formative music years. And it's why I love, you know, guitar as an instrument. And I like my rock big and loud. So
nice.
You know, eventually I branched out and I love it all now. So just went and saw the Flaming Lips the other day. That was one of the best shows I've seen in a long time. But yeah, it's, the cutting my teeth days were on the sort of the heavier end.
That's cool. So, nice. So neighbors beware of that stage.
You mentioned getting old. I back in the younger days, I used to not worry too much about how loud the amp was when I turned it on. But these days, I'm a little bit more respectful.
A little bit. Now, do these bands you're playing with at Woodmorestock, do they have names?
Yeah. So the one I'm in with Bobby is called As the Crow Flies.
Nice.
That one's playing at 1 o'clock. Come out and see that one. Could be the greatest thing you've ever seen. It might be a total disaster, but hopefully it's going to be good. And then the other band is called Les Cendres, which I think is French for ashes, the ashes, or the cinders. Frank is actually French and speaks French, so I trust him. That's a good name.
Cool. That's great. Okay. And where can people get information?
We don't have a website yet, so that's probably where we're going year three, is to build that out. But we use Facebook heavily, fortunately there's a lot of the demographics are still on Facebook in terms of the people that are coming to our event. But facebook.com/ Woodmorestock is a good landing page and easy one to remember. We have lineups, the full lineup posted there now. If there's any last minute changes, we'll update the dynamic link there. And then we'll, as Brad said, have lots of printed materials for people as they show up that day, to check out the lineups, check out the map, food truck locations, things like that. But yeah, keep tuning in to Facebook if you want to, get the broadest information.
There's also an Instagram page, if you're not on Facebook, that has similar information.
All right. Very cool. Well, everybody head on out. Silver Spring, Maryland, the Woodmore neighborhood, and go to Woodmorestock June 10th. And then I believe you have a rain date the next day in case of bad weather.
Correct.
All right.
June 11th.
So we're sending out good vibes for June 10th though. I think Saturday, that's the day you want to go. That's what we want to do.
Right.
100%.
Don't mess this up, mid-Atlantic weather. Like, let's keep this on track, right? So this time of year, you know, you never know. But June 10th, head on out. Like I said, book your plane tickets, get on out here, and you'll be able to hang with us. We are so excited to be part of this, by the way. I don't know if I've emphasized that enough.
We really appreciate it.
We are so excited to be part of this. So Patrick and I will be there. You can come, you can meet us. You can buy or bring us beer. We're not picky on that. And you can and hang and talk, and we'll be doing some live podcasting there from Woodmorestock. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be really awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Probably near our area will be where the mud is. Like everybody will be rolling in mud. Yeah, that'll be near us. We don't have to resod a lawn. Yeah,
they didn't have rain dates at actual Woodstock.
No, that's where they messed up. Yeah. Right.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you all later.
We are stars. We are girls. We are girls.
more. Will you have funnel cakes?
Maybe.
All right. We want to be set up by that. Yeah.